Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. The upcoming Rose Bowl on January 1st is the 100th Rose Bowl. I had forgotten that. Jason, did you know that? I mean, I've been kind of paying attention the last few years, the 97th, 98th. I forgot last year's was the 99th. You knew it was close. Yeah. I knew it was, I'd forgotten last year's was 99. That's me exactly. As a result, they are going to have the all-century class of the Rose Bowl, honoring players and coaches throughout the game's 100-year history. Those who are surviving, and of course they're not all surviving, but those who are surviving, of course, will be honored at the 100th Rose Bowl. One of the honorees might not be able to make it. That would be Orenthal James Simpson. I think he is otherwise preoccupied. He is a finalist. He has not been announced as one of the winners. Here's what's going to be interesting. They weren't afraid. Yeah, he would stick out in that orange. Yeah, he's not wearing the, he was USC, right? Yeah, not wearing the USC colors. O.J. Simpson has been announced as a finalist from the 1960s for the Rose Bowl Game All-Century Class. In commemoration of the 100th Rose Bowl Game, an annual college football game. Yeah, thanks for letting us know that. The All-Century Class will honor players and coaches throughout the game's history. It's unlikely the 66-year-old Simpson will attend the January 1st ceremony. He's currently serving time in Lovelock Correctional Center in Nevada for armed robbery and kidnapping. Tailback, of course, for the USC Trojans. The former champion footballer, you can always tell when the British are writing this. The former champion footballer and sometime actor was named player of the game in the 1968 Rose Bowl, in which he ran 128 yards and scored 2 touchdowns for the Trojans against Indiana. And, of course, all of that, including a Hall of Fame NFL career, has been overshadowed by his acquittal on a double murder he obviously committed, and then his subsequent crime that now has him in prison for 9 to 33 years. You're asking if Ron Dane's on that list? I don't have the list. You'll have to Google for it. Well, I don't have the list. I just have the story that O.J. Simpson is on the list. This was not intended to be a topic about who everyone else is on the list. You would think Ron Dane would be on that list. What you're looking for is the Rose Bowl All-Century Class. That's what you're looking for. And see, what does every story have? O.J. Simpson, O.J. Simpson, O.J. Simpson, O.J. Simpson. Oh, Ron Vanderkellen's on there, huh? 1963 Rose Bowl from the 1962 season. They were down, don't tell me. I'm not looking. You can tell. I'm not looking over here. They were down, was that to USC as well? They were down to USC, do I get 3 guesses? 2 guesses. They were down 45-14 at half. Close? Well, then I'm going to say it was a field goal. I'm off by a field goal. I'll say 42-14. Oh, look at me. I really thought it was 45-14. And they come back, what, 45-37, 38? He falls short. Comes storming back. But he has this amazing game. Ron Vanderkellen is on there. Do you know who drafted Ron Vanderkellen in the NFL? The problem is they had drafted a quarterback in 1961, the Minnesota Vikings had. That would be Fran Tarkenton. Yeah, it was the Vikings. So he never really played. But yeah, the Vikings drafted Vanderkellen. It'll be interesting to see if you can find the list. Just later in the show, if you find other Badgers who are on it, you would think Ron Dane, but we'll see. We'll mention that later in the show. Yes, O.J. Simpson. By the way, the Red Sox a win away from another World Series title. Jason, just a little excited about that. Is it because of the Red Sox winning or that the Cardinals will lose or both? Both. I totally agree. I'm kind of not even a closet Red Sox fan. Obviously, the Brewers are my team. I always was a fan of that team. But once you've been to Fenway, It's just, it's even more than Lambo, the history, because so much of the original structure is still visible. It's just, it's an amazing thing. You know what I hadn't noticed, though? Remember, when did they finally break that stupid, was it 2000? What year did the Red Sox finally win the World Series again? Last decade, after the curse of the Bambino for 80-some years. You know what I didn't realize? Okay, even when they did finally start winning World Series again, they still haven't clinched one at Fenway since 1918. You realize for that not to happen, they would have to lose two at home. I can't fathom that. Now, what's happened, here is what's interesting. They took 2 of 3 at Busch, which I think is very impressive. They took 2 of 3. For the Cardinals to win this, they'd have to take 3 of 4 at Fenway, you know, of the whole series. They would have to take 3 of 4. I can't imagine that happening. I don't think it's going to end tomorrow night, though. I have still said it's going to go to Game 7. You think it's going to end tomorrow night? I don't know who's on the mound. I will say this. I told Jason this off the air. I think it's one of the highest quality World Series in a long time. They are clearly the two best teams in baseball. And I think they are two of the better teams in the World Series in a long time. It's an overused cliche in sports to say it looks like a heavyweight fight. It really does. Pitching on both sides has been spectacular. You throw out that first game blow by the Red Sox, and even last night's 3-1, they are every run is just scratched and earned, and there's the two bizarre endings with the obstruction call and picked off to end the game. Just bizarre. I think as good as the series has been, it would really be a travesty for it to end in 6 games, but that's just me. Yesterday, we read some excerpts from Scott Walker's book. The book isn't out yet, but a couple of media outlets, Wisconsin Policy Research Institute and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, have a copy. Yesterday, I shared with you the incredibly harrowing experiences that Scott Walker and his family faced from unruly, out-of-control liberal mobs, including the state patrol car that Walker was in being rocked by protesters. Incredible threats that his wife should be gutted like a deer. By the way, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to my knowledge, has not reported on those. I wonder if they read the whole book. I have not. Now, I could be wrong. Actually, I could be wrong because I do manage to miss things. But to my knowledge, they have not presented any of that. They do have this, though. There's an exchange in the book that Walker reports between himself and the former head of a Milwaukee County union. Walker describes a meeting of the two. And in that meeting, he says, look, there are going to be layoffs, that hundreds of workers in the union would, if the union didn't make concessions, there would be layoffs. And the union official responded, go ahead and do it. That official, Rich Abelson, who was executive director of AFSCME District Council 48, says it's a lie, that it never happened. I will tell you, it's highly believable. This is the history that the unions are trying to rewrite. That they were willing to compromise. Well, we were willing to give things up. We were willing to make concessions. No, they weren't. And what happened is then when Walker came up with Act 10, oh, wait a minute, well, hold on, yeah, now we will. Well, too late. Then after they refused to make concessions, unions on almost every public level, but particularly state employees, then when Walker came up with Act 10, then they were willing to make concessions to avert Act 10. Well, but we were willing to compromise, and he wouldn't. No, he tried to get concessions from them before, and they said no. So Abelson is going nuts, saying, that frankly is just a lie. That did not happen. Let's see. This act, okay. Also in his book, Walker discusses how his years serving as Milwaukee County executive led him to conclude that collective bargaining for public workers was deeply flawed. He writes that shortly after he was elected to that job, so this, I stand corrected, this actually goes back to his county executive days. He proposed making county workers pay more for their pensions and health care and having shorter work weeks to avoid layoffs. What he's saying is they wouldn't compromise back then, and he learned that lesson. And by the way, they did do the same thing at the state level when before Act 10. When he met with Abelson of AFSCME to say he would have to lay off workers if there weren't concessions, Abelson looked him in the eye and said, "Go ahead and do it," according to Walker. The governor uses the phrase as a chapter title. "I was stunned," Walker writes. "I explained again how many jobs would be lost if he stood in the way of our reform. He told me he didn't care how many workers I laid off. He wasn't giving up any benefits." Again, this is when he was county executive. But he faced the same thing in advance. Our unions basically did the same thing in advance of Act 10. Abelson denied he said that and said he wanted details from Walker about when the meeting occurred. He said he didn't normally meet with Walker on his own, so Walker aides and other union representatives would have heard any exchange between them. "I have no recollection of that," Abelson said. "I would never have told him, go ahead and do it." So here's what Abelson thinks. Here's my opinion. Abelson thinks there was no one else there. He may or may not remember it, but if it did happen, he's thinking, well, that would have been one of the rare times there was no one else there, and he can't prove it. Scott Walker, on the other hand, who won't comment on the book until it's released later, actually next month, saying, look, he has all sorts of notes, all sorts of background. This is highly believable because Walker faced the same thing as governor. Then it was the revisionist history of union workers then. Well, we would have made concessions. No, they wouldn't. They only offered that after he dropped the nuclear option, as some put it, of Act 10. He's saying he faced the same thing as county executive. And the guy said, go ahead, lay him off. How hard is that to believe? That is not hard to believe at all. Look at what happened with private sector unions in this state. Thomas Industries moving to Louisiana. Why? Because they wouldn't make concessions. Go ahead, move our jobs out of state. We don't give a damn. Mercury Marine of Fond du Lac did almost the same thing. I referred to this as the cult-like behavior of unions, and UAW local at Kohler Company got all upset with me. They protested me at a public appearance, even though I wasn't talking about them. Jason remembers that. His favorite part of the time, they would rather have no jobs. That's exactly right, Jason. That's the union mentality. Be obstinate and get rid of our own. That's why I called it a cult, economic suicide. They'll perform economic suicide. I stand by that characterization, by the way, before they will bend. That's the union mindset, both public and private. So that this happened back in 2002 is completely believable. It's innocent until proven guilty, Abelson. Prove him wrong. Prove it didn't happen. Which reminds me of Dick Durbin. I blogged on this last week. I didn't get to it. I've got to say a couple words about it in 3 minutes. It's 9:49. What more? All I want to do is just play some more.
I can't feel my legs and I probably never did. Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybatershow.com.